Okay. That is a chapter 11. So now we come, when we come to this chapter 11, you know, we are in an age of communication. It's very easy to communicate. I think in the, probably in the history of mankind, it has never been so easy as it is right now to talk to people. Within minutes, if we are, no matter where we are in the world, within minutes, we get the news right away. If we need to reach a loved one or talk to someone, it's very, very easy right now. And things that we thought were pioneering, which were groundbreaking maybe 40, 50 years ago, which were part of the mainstream business, such as telephone and fax, are now basically outdated. With the introduction of the social media and you know, the popularity of the social media, communication has completely changed. And as I said, it's very, very easy to talk to someone. And I think all of us will agree with that. But as we talk about that, as we talk about how easy it is to communicate, it is becoming harder and harder to understand each other. It is, we are more divided. There is more division in ideas and so forth. And if you are wondering why we have such deep division, especially in the country that we live in, along the racial line, along the ethnic line, and there is so many things that divides us right now, especially in this nation of America. And you wonder that, to me, when I look at things, it is so clear. And then you sit with somebody and they look at the same thing and then they have a totally opposite point of view on that. And you're like, how can you see that? I see something totally different. But when you look at all of that differences that we have, the divide that we have, it can all can be rooted back to what we are about to study in this Tower of Babel. As I have been telling you for a very long time since we started this Bible study, that it is very important to understand the first 11 chapters of the Bible to understand the redemption plan of God. And here we come in chapter 11. Some of you have heard me say this before. When we many times when we talk about the Bible, when we talk about the sin, we start by Genesis 3. Oh, Eve ate the fruit, and it started all the problem. But when this, remember, the Bible is not written for us. Bible is written for a Jewish person. This text that we are reading was written for Jewish people who understood the nuances that are included in this text. And so if you ask a Jewish person who was living back then, who was reading the account of Genesis, he would not tell you just about Genesis 3. He would tell you about Genesis 3, he would tell you about Genesis 6, and then he would tell you about Genesis 11. Because they understood that men rebelled against God at three different times. And then what the nation Israel, the history of the Israel, starts because of this continuous rebelling against God. And so as we come to the end of this Genesis 11, we will see the plan of God, redemption plan, and how he creates a nation. So when we look at this Genesis 11, we need to understand that this is the start of everything we know as we know. All the pagan religion that we have, all the things that we are talking about, we see in this world today, it started over here in this chapter 11. So let's look together, and it's a short, the first 9 verses are very important, and then we are going to go very quickly where we need to get to. So here, verse 1, it says, now the whole earth had one language and one speech. The Tower of Babel, by the way, that's the title of the chapter. The word Babel means, at this point, it meant gateway to God. Gateway to God, that's what the word Babel meant, okay? So it says, now the whole earth had one language and one speech. And it came to pass, as they journeyed from the east, that they found a plain in the land of Shinar, and they dwelt there. The Shina is, as you know, it's a current day Iraq. Okay, that's the land of Shinar. And the land of the Shinar continually gets mentioned in the Bible. And I'm going to show you another verse that how that is going to play out as far as the end times prophecies. Then they said to one another, come, let us make bricks and bake them thoroughly. They had brick for stone and they had asphalt for mortar. And they said, come, let us build ourselves a city and a tower whose top is in the heaven. Let us make a name for ourselves, lest we be scattered abroad over the face of the whole earth. The first four verses in this chapter is talking about what man wanted to do. From the verses 5 to 9, we are going to see what God is going to do. Okay? And this is a very important thing to understand here. When Noah and his sons, when they came off the ark, what did God say to them? Go and fill the earth. Scatter. Here, the man is talking about gathering, right? It said, let us, come, let us get together. And as a man, when we start to say that, come, let us do something, that's where the problem starts. Okay? Here, in the last chapter, we had learned about a guy named Nimrod. And it is Nimrod who is building this Tower of Babel. He's the king at the time. He's the leader at that time. And what he's basically saying is here, they were very much aware of the flood. And they said, we need to do something. That next time God decides to do something, we will not be completely destroyed. So what we learned here as a Tower of Babel, it was actually a ziggurat. And even they have found many evidence of this smaller ziggurat all over the Middle East. Okay? And it was a ziggurat that was supposed to go up. And it wasn't that, when he said it was the gateway of God, it wasn't that they wanted to be closer to God or to get to know God in some way. They wanted to search the heavens. They wanted to look at the stars, the sun, and the moon so they can control their destiny. Okay? What is that talking about? How do we know that? That's astronomy. Okay, and astronomy is the start of every single pagan religion.
Astrology, you mean?
Huh? Astrology is the start of every pagan religion. Looking into the stars, trying to see what we can learn. And so this is talking about, this is not just simply, or it should not be looked at simply as, oh, they wanted to build a very tall building. They're not trying to build a tall building. They are trying to control their destiny. And instead of, what did they say? What does it say? And they said, come, let us build ourselves a city and a tower whose top is in the heavens. Let us make a name for ourselves, lest we be scattered abroad. They were worried about being scattered abroad. But God had told them that you need to go scatter. You need to scatter. Okay? Earlier it says, right, that they said to one another, come, let us make bricks and bake them thoroughly. When you look at a bricks, it is talking about a man trying to build something in his own strength. God doesn't build with bricks. He builds with stones. When you look at the temple, the whole temple was built with stone. And then it says, they had brick for stone and they had asphalt for mortar. And that's NKJV, that says asphalt. If you go back to the King James Version, it will say slime. It will say slime. That's the translation in a King James Version. So they basically, instead of a stone, they took brick. And what happens is, brick comes out of earth and it is not as firm as the stone. The temple that was built in Jerusalem, They were huge stones. They weighed like about a ton. And they were so precisely cut that they would fit in each other. They didn't need to put anything inside to put them together. That's how precisely that stone was built. And if you go to Leviticus, if you go to Exodus, where God tells us about tells Moses how to build that temple, you will see it clearly says there will be no hammer put on this stone. These things were whole. But it came to the temple and they put it together. It was full. This is a man-made effort to do something in his own strength, control their destiny. And what they wanted to do is they wanted to build this ziggurat so high, just in case if another flood came, we won't have to worry about dying. Somehow we are going to survive, right? Over here, and keep this in mind. They said scatter abroad. It also said that let us make let us build something. Let us make a name for ourselves. Keep these things in mind, what we are talking about, and we go to the next chapter. Okay? Isn't this what we are searching right now? Isn't this what we are? Let me make a name for myself. You know, I want to make a lot of money. I want to make a lot of money. I want to make a name. I want to build an empire. We want to build an empire of our own self. I'm going to build a house. I'm going to have a couple of cars. I'm going to have a white fence. And that's where our focus is. Instead of submitting ourselves to God. What are they building over here? What are they trying to do here? They are building a tower. And so many times, instead of scattering, instead of doing what God had told them to do, their focus is going to be this tower. Their whole life, this is how they are going to unite. They are going to unite around a building. And we might look at this and say, okay, we don't do that. How many times our whole life revolves around a church where we have all our loyalty to the church, the building itself? We spend so much time, we spend so much energy about keeping up that building, that this is my church, this is my thing, instead of doing God's work. We don't worship the building. Our loyalty should never be to the church. It's the God. It's a house of God, right? But we don't worship the house. We worship the God of the house, right? And many times, it's all about the God of the house of God. That's why when we get to chapter 35, it talks about Bethel, which means house of God. Jacob changes the name and he says El Bethel, the God of the house of God. Okay, so it's about the God of the house of God. And so many times we forgot about the God and it all becomes about the house. You know, this is, we build a church and this is my church. Now I cannot go worship two blocks away with a different people because God can only visit me in my church. And this is basically what is happening here at the Tower of Babel. They are so preoccupied. They are so preoccupied with building something for themselves without God being at the center of it. And this is what is going on. Now, there's a very interesting thing here in the first verse. It says, now the whole earth had one language and one speech. Is this where this world is going right now? Right? This is the agenda of this world today. When you look at it, they have put something in the focus and said, the whole earth should revolve around. All of us should be worried about this thing. Let me give you one example. How about Mother Earth that we talk about? Somehow we need to save the earth. Let wherever you are in the world, everybody's talking about environment and earth. Like somehow we can save it. Let me tell you something. This earth is going to last as long as God has meant it to last. There is nothing we can do to make it last even one more minute than God has intended it. But this is what God is going to do. This is what people have done with God. We're going to make the earth, Mother Earth, seize the resources of everything. We are going to make sure we protect it somehow. Yes, we should take care of what God has given us. But it does not take place of God. And that's why it's very important to understand Romans 1, verses 18 to 25. I urge you, if you haven't studied it, there are a lot of resources. I have done a study on it. The recording is available both in English and Gujarati. And it's very important to understand what happened. They started to worship the creation instead of the Creator. And we need to be careful that we don't make that mistake. We live in a time right now that there is a one language, right? It's the language of internet. It's the language of man. Everybody understands this language. And the first time in a couple of decades, it's only been a couple of decades, maybe 34 years, where the language of the world, once again, has become one. We are all able to do. And look what God says in verse 5, says, but the Lord came down to see the city and tower which the sons of man had built. You know, I know that verse because it says, the Lord came down. They thought they were building something so high where they can look up in the heaven. But here it was so low that the Lord had to come down. And he said, the Lord came down to see the city and tower which the Son of Man had built. And the Lord said, indeed, the people are one and they all have one language. And this is what they began to do. Now, nothing that they propose to do will be withheld from them. Right? Nothing they will purpose to do will be withheld from them. When they got off the ark, what did God say? That every thought, every imagination of a man's heart is evil. So when here it says that nothing that they propose to do, everything they propose will be evil. And this is this separation, this division that happens here, it is almost for the protection of the man. Because you know there is a saying, an ultimate power hurts you ultimately. When you have one person, everybody speaking one language, it was going to be a problem. And over here, you know, the earlier when I said where it says one language and one speech, it means it's not just that they spoke and understood each other. They had the same vocabulary. They had the same vocabulary. And the example that I can give you about that is, you know, the English is being spoken everywhere. Everywhere in the world, you will find people who speak English and communicate. But you know, if certain things we say from here, you go to India and you say the same phrases, they don't speak the same language. They don't understand certain things in American English to the British English, right? Things mean different. We can communicate, but things mean differently in English. Over here, they understood each other. So all the slang, all the nuances of the language, they understood everything. They spoke one language and one speech. So that's how they were at this point. And so many times when we talk about unity, right, and it really, really bothers me when we try to unite. Oh, we should be united as Gujaratis. We should be united as Methodists. Or we should be united as CNI. Or that unity is not something what God is looking for. Because when we do that, it's come let us build a tower. And as Methodists, we are going to do this. Whatever, and fill in the blank, whatever denomination you want. We are going to build something for, you know, because it usually shows what we are going to do in our strength and what the focus is on us, not on God. And that is why God comes down here. And now he says, right? And the Lord said, indeed, the people are one and they all have one language. And this is what they began to do. Now, nothing what they say, they propose to do will be withheld from them. Come, let us go down. Now God is saying, come, let us go down. Interesting word, right? It says God says, come, let us. What does us mean there? Right? What does us mean over there? God is one. Right? Let me go down. He says, no, come, let us go down there and confuse their language. Right? But then look at the confuse their language that they may not understand one another's speech. And then look at the next verse, he said, so the Lord scattered them. So first you see plural, us, but when you come to verse 8, it says, so the Lord scattered them abroad from there over the face of all the earth, and they ceased building the city. If you want to understand that, let us, when we do have when we have the angel Bible study, we will explain that. I have explained that before. But it's not talking about, you know, sometimes we understand, sometimes it's explained away as it's God, Son, I mean, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, and that's why it is us. I don't believe so. Because they don't know to talk to each other. They are not three different people. They are three different essence. Okay? So that is, it is talking about heavenly beings. It's talking to heavenly beings, Elohims, that lets go. And we are one. But the Lord is the only one who can do it. They don't have a power to do it. That's why it says, so the Lord scattered them abroad from there over the face of all the earth, and they ceased building the city. As soon as God confused the language, now they were not able to communicate. You know, the guy asked for a brick, and he got something else in his hand. And they couldn't communicate. And this is how all the events, and this is where they scattered, and all the events that we read about in chapter 10 took place. This is how the nations were created. Therefore, its name is called Babel. Now, here in the verse 9, Babel means what we understand it as, confusion. Okay? When it started out, it meant gateway to God. And they wanted to look into the heavens and become their own God. And as I said, astrology is the start of all the pagan religion. Okay? From here, this is Babylon. This is the word Babel. That's where the city Babylon name comes from. Okay? And I'll give you some references because we are running out of time. But if you go to Zechariah chapter 5, it talks about two baskets. It's a vision of two baskets. It's confusing. But if you look at the last verse, it will give you a name of Sheol. And it is a two basket which is full of sin. And it's, God says, carry that away to the land of Shinar, meaning take it to Babylon. That's where all the sins belong. Take it back to Shinar. Okay? When you get to Revelation 17, 18, it talks about the harlot, Babylon. Okay? It is talking about him. And I wish I could pull that verse. I think it's Revelation chapter 17, verse 2 or 3. It talks about the religion. You know, maybe if you can find it, somebody, maybe we can read it, you know. It talks about exactly that thing. From here, the astrology was taken to Egypt. And when you look at the pyramids, okay, and all of those things, it was all done with astrology. And that influence was so strong, that's why we read it in the book of Leviticus, because the Hebrews were influenced by it while they were in the slavery. God gives a very, very precise warning in the book of Leviticus about astrology. So if any of us are into those things, reading the signs, what sign I am and this and that and whatnot, that is not biblical. That is the start of every pagan religion. That's why, especially the country we come from, where there is an influence of a false religion, you will see an importance of astrology. They will look at the suns and the moons and all of those things. The worship of the sun and moon and all of those things. And you see in India how heavy that influence is. You know, astrology, numerology, all of those things, right? We know people don't make a single decision without checking all of those things. And as a Christian, we should very much stay away from it, because there is a warning and a curse associated with it. The start of all of that came from right here, from the Tower of Babel. And so now God has created a confusion through the language, and the earth is divided. By the way, you know, last time, and we're going to read it today, but I just want to mention, last time in chapter 10, when we went through the genealogy of Shem, there was a guy named Peleg, right? And I said his name literally meant division or divided. And it says in his time, the earth was divided. When you look at that word earth, it's in the original language, it's written as ertz, E-R-E-T-Z. And that literally means the land itself, not people. And that was the start of the continent as we know it. It was all connected at one point. But when this took place, that's when it was all divided. And I think I mentioned that if you take all the continents, it's like a puzzle. It would fit perfectly together. It would fit perfectly together. Very quickly, in a few minutes that we have, from a verses 10 on all the way to the end. Again, it's a genealogy that is given. And I wanna show you something through this genealogy. It says, this is the genealogy of Shem. Shem was 100 years old and begot Arphaxad 2 years after the flood. After he begot Arphaxad, Shem lived 500 years and begot sons and daughters. Arphaxad lived 35 years and begot Salah. After he begot Salah, Arphaxad lived 403 years and begot sons and daughters. Salah lived 30 years and begot Eber. After he begot Eber, Salah lived 403 years and begot sons and daughters. Eber lived 34 years. Eber, again, that's a first time the word Hebrew, this is where the word Hebrew comes from. Eber lived 34 years old. Years and begot Peleg. After he begot Peleg, Eber lived 430 years and begot sons and daughters. Peleg lived 30 years and begot Reu. After he begot Reu, Peleg lived 209 years and begot sons and daughters. Reu lived 32 years and begot Serug. After he begot Serug, Reu lived 207 years and begot sons and daughters. Serug lived 30 years and begot Nahor. After he begot Nahor, Serug lived 200 years and begot sons and daughters. Nahor lived 29 years and begot Terah. After he begot Terah, Nahor lived 119 years and begot sons and daughters. Now Terah lived 70 years and begot Abram, Nahor, and Haran. You see that? Now, just jog your memory, or you can look it up. Back in chapter 5, we went through a genealogy. Right? It was from Adam all the way to Noah's time. Okay? And if you remember, if you read over there it always said, so-and-so lived this many years, and he died. So-and-so lived this many years, and he died. He walked with God, and he died. When you come here, you see that it doesn't talk about death anymore. It talks about so-and-so lived this many years, right? Because now at that time, the judgment was coming, and he was talking about death. Here, it is going to start to talk about redemption. There is death over there is life over here. The other thing that I want you to notice is look at how the drop in the years, the length of the time, how long they lived, their lifespan. As you look at each generation, it goes less and less and less and less, right? It continues to drop. That's the effect of fallen world. They no longer carry the gene as previously before the flood. And they are, it's the effect of the, because of the flood, how the earth was corrupted now. And that's what we are looking at over here. Okay, and then at the end, we see the introduction of the man called Abram, right? And here is the start of the nation of Israel. To continue, this is the genealogy of Terah. Terah begot Abram, Nahor, and Haran. Haran begot Lot, and Haran died before his father Terah in his native land, in the Ur of the Chaldeans. Talking about the astrology, if you study any kind of history on the astrology, okay, it will always lead you to the Ur of Chaldeans. That is like the center. This is what we call, in our term, Mesopotamia. Mesopotamia, where if you look at the world history, it tells you that the first civilization, they are the ones who invented the wheel, right? That's what it's called in a secular history. The Ur of Chaldeans, and we are going to look at that place over and over again, this is where everything started. So now, Terah is a native in the land of Ur of Chaldeans. Guess what religion he followed? Do you think he was a godly man? He was not. He was a pagan. He believed in the astrology. He worshipped. He was a moon god. You know, go to Joshua 24:2. It will tell you Terah was a moon worshipper. Okay, he was a moon worshipper. Right? And then his kids, then Abram and Nahor. So the word Abram, the name Abram means an exalted one of God. Okay? Later on, that name will change Abraham, and we will see why. The Abram and Nahor took wives, The name of Abram's wife was Sarai. That's interesting, right? Sarai is a very popular name, especially in our community, right? Sarai literally means the name is Sarat, S-A-R-R-A-T. That name is directly one of the name of the goddess named Ishtar. Okay? Ishtar is where the Easter starts. Okay, that's where we get the name Easter. I think I mentioned that last time. And that's what Sarai's name literally meant. Okay? Nahor's wife, Milcah, the daughter of Haran, father of Milcah, and the father of Ishtar. When you look at the name Milcah, it translates, the original translation is Melech. And that is another name for the goddess Ishtar. Why am I sharing this information? And I can give you the references in the Bible where it clearly says the Milcah is a Melech and Ishtar, right? Why am I sharing these definitions? I want to show you that this was a family that was completely a pagan family. They were following a false religion. Okay, they were following a false religion. They had no relationship with God. And how long has it been since the flood? It's been 100 years when they struck Tower of Babel. It took 100 years to go back to corruption. And you said, you know what? Yeah, these people lived a long life. They forgot, you know. But Noah was alive until about 128 years. Noah died when Terah was about 128 years old. So think about it. If you had your grandfather talking to you for 128 years, I think he would, you know, we know our grandfathers, grandparents for a little time, and we know a lot of the histories that they made. We know their life. Noah was a preacher. Terah had a first-hand account of the flood and why the flood happened. It's not like that this was lost in a translation. He never knew Noah. As I said before, when Noah died, Abraham was probably around 50 years of age or something like that. You know, there would have been some kind of an overlap between Abraham's life, right? And if not, Terah had definitely had an overlap. And he knew Noah. Yet, they were following a false god. 100 years, that's all it took. And Terah took his son Abram and his grandson Lot, the son of Haran, and his daughter-in-law Sarai, his sons Abraham's wife, and they went out with them from Ur of Chaldeans to go to the land of Canaan. And they came to Haran and dwelt there. So the days of Terah were 205 years, and Terah died in Haran. Okay? And here starts a wonderful story of redemption. This is a pagan family. Abram is in a pagan family, yet God chooses him. Now we come to my very favorite portion of the scripture. I love Abraham's story because Abraham's story is about mine and your story. It's about God taking something and making something out of nothing. Okay? And as we close this Bible study, there are two thoughts that I wanna share with you. Okay? Verse 30 says, but Sarai was barren. She had no child. Why did God, in all his knowledge, decided to include that line in here? But Sarai was barren. She had no child. Okay? Because this barrenness, it was going to be the source that was going to display Abraham's faith. It is through this barrenness that there was going to be fruit of faith come up. Okay? And so what I want to encourage you with today as we close this Bible study is, are you feeling barren in your life? Do you feel there's nothing going on in your life? Day by day you are going to the church. Day by day you are reading the Bible. Day by day you are doing your devotions and you feel there is a barrenness in your life. But it's often God takes that barrenness and uses it for his glory. It's when the Israelites were in the wilderness that God worked on them. It's often in those times when we feel there is nothing going on and God has abandoned us, is the time God is molding us, making us, chiseling us, not like the brick and mortar, but like a stone, and making us into the people that we need to be for God. But the second thing that I want to share with you is, here, God was the confusion. He created a division because they could not understand each other. But you know what? God fixed that problem. You go to the book of Acts, and I'm not going to go there. You go to the book of Acts, and what happens in the book of Acts, chapter 2? The disciples are gathered, and the Holy Spirit comes upon them. And Holy Spirit comes upon them. They get empowerment of the Holy Spirit, and Peter, everybody knows this story, Peter starts preaching. And what do the people in the audience say? Are these people drunk? Because there were people from Galilee. There were people from all over the world, all different. Aren't these men Galileans? But how am I able to understand him in my language? Do you guys recall that? That's the story. That Peter preached, and they all understood in their own language. What was broken here at the Tower of Babel was fixed in Acts chapter 2. How? Through the Holy Spirit. Through the Holy Spirit. When the Holy Spirit comes. So is unity bad? No, unity is not bad. But we cannot achieve unity without and apart from God. The only unity that we can see is in the under the cross. It is the cross that defines us, not our ethnicity. That's why Paul goes on to say, in Christ, there is no Jew or Gentile. There is no slave or free. There is no male or no female. We are all one in Christ. And that's why when you sit, whenever you worship, when you look at your church congregation, and if it is not a diverse congregation, where you don't see people from other nations, then you are not following the leading of Holy Spirit. And you are in the Tower of Babel. Because you want people of one language and one speech, one background, one ethnicity. That's an issue. Because the Church of God is made out of all different kind of people. Right? And I was thinking about this this morning. You know, when we go into heaven, there's going to be some guy from Africa that we would laugh at probably, right? Or some guy from India, you know, a white guy maybe grew up in a very affluent. And we are all going to be at the worshiping together, understanding everyone. You know, everybody's going to understand that there cannot be any division in heaven. There is no way there is going to be any different language or that kind of an identity. The only identity that is going to be in heaven is you are washed in the blood of Christ. And so that should be the criteria for our unity. You know, where when we try to build things, or we are going to have a cricket match and a picnic so we can divide a community, that is a start of a disaster. That is a start of a disaster. The only way we can unite is if it is under the umbrella of the cross. Okay? And as we close, I want to give you this wonderful words that I promised you last time. If you go to book of Zephaniah, and if you know where that book is, kudos to you, it is right after the book of Habakkuk and right before the book of Haggai, Zephaniah, a wonderful little book. And this is talking about the blessing of the end times, okay? In the God's theocracy nation that we are going to go to. Chapter 3, verse 9. Look what his promise is, right? For then I will restore to the people a pure language. Right? One language, basically, that's what it means. That they all may call on the name of the Lord to serve him with one accord. Why is there going to be a one language? Not so we can be united and build something, but they may call on the name of the Lord to serve him with one accord. This is the unity that we need to strive for. Oh, Father, we come to you in the name of Jesus once again. We thank you and praise you for this time, Lord. And what a wonderful wonderful promise that we have, Lord, that when you come and you establish your kingdom, Lord, all this division, all this confusion that we have, all this misunderstanding that we have with each other, Lord, all is going to disappear, Lord, and that we are going to understand each other in your perfect will, Lord, and then we are going to praise you together. Lord, you have given us a work to do, Lord. As 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17 says, Lord, that we are now a new creation, reconciled to God, and then we have a ministry of a reconciliation. So, Lord, help us to finish that ministry of reconciliation, Lord. But before you say all of that, Lord, you in verse 16, you tell us that Paul tells us, Lord, that I no longer look at people in their flesh, but we look at them at their spiritual level, Lord. Help us to stop looking at people in their fleshly behavior, Lord, and help us to look within at their spiritual life, Lord, that we may not discriminate, maybe not look at people and judge people by their color and their race, Lord, or their ethnicity or their gender, but we look at as what is their relationship with you, Lord. So, Lord, I pray for each and every one of us who's here, who's listening, Lord, if there is any among us, Lord, who has not yet been taken that promise of being a new creation, Lord, I pray they accept you today as a Savior. Become a new creation, Lord. Be reconciled to you so they have this promise of an eternal life, Lord. Just thank you and praise you for this wonderful verse that you have given us, Lord. Thank you for giving us the understanding, Lord. And as we close this, Lord, be with us, guide us, Lord. Continue to probe our heart with your word that we may grow closer to you and be obedient to your word. We love you, Jesus. It's in your mighty name that we pray. Amen. Thank you, everyone.